All right, call the meeting to order, start with a salute to the flag. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Doesn't look like anyone's gonna join us tonight.
Gosh, I'm gonna miss that public participation.
All right, so I don't see the minutes here, but I know they were emailed out.
They are.
Are they here?
Yeah, it's the second page.
Oh, okay, sorry, it was stuck.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Motion to approve by Rich, second by Charlie. Questions, alterations, deletions on the minutes? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's carried. I got an email from the treasurer. She is very ill. I don't know what's wrong with her, but something. And she was unable to do the reports for this month's meeting, so we'll double up next month. No correspondence for the month?
No, I reached out to the Gone Gray Band, and they're gonna get back to me with a date in August, so they do have some availability, and we'll take whatever they have.
Okay.
I'll let you know when we have a date picked, and we can post it.
Very good. All right, so we had some issues for our attorney. So we have the property maintenance concerns on Westbrook Drive.
And the Elm Street issue.
And the Elm Street abandoned property issue.
Kevin Hitchcock has been on vacation for the last 10 days, but I did talk to him. Sent him an email about both these properties and what we're trying to do. He said he would have that for me shortly. I guess he's catching up on stuff in fact. He's familiar with both these properties, I believe. He's, especially the Westbrook one. Here's something we might discuss. We've got our Chapter 87 property maintenance gives us basically two ways to go forward. And it's, one way is kind of curious because it involves the village board itself. If we get a report from Kevin saying that this property appears to be in violation of the property maintenance code, we can serve the owner with a notice of a public hearing before us. So let's say we get this report next week. At our next meeting, we can do a resolution saying to her, we're gonna have a hearing on whatever the following here, you know, whatever the following meeting is. This is what we've got, come in and explain. Then the local law says that Kevin does an inspection just before the meeting and comes in and reports on that. We have a public hearing to decide, is she in violation or not? If she is in violation, the board, it's kind of a weird function for, to me at least, I've seen this in some other, Skodak has a similar thing in terms of destroying a building. You have a notice to the owner, a public hearing, and then the town board makes the decision that such and such. If we make a decision that the stuff has to be cleaned out, we can then hire a person to do it ourselves, in other words, at her expense, and impose that expense, you know, put that expense on her to be re-levied at a later date, okay? You know, so we get that money back. The alternative way to do it is if we look at that inspection and we decide that she's violated it, we can do a resolution directing the code enforcement guy to bring it in front of the court, okay? My own personal feeling is, as long as the local law gives this, we should, I know it sort of involves us in the fact-finding process and that, but I think it's better that we make the decision because it's difficult. I don't make a generalization that applies to everybody, but I'm going to. I don't think for a lot of local judges this stuff assumes an importance. You know what I'm saying? It's like you struggle. Like in East Greenbush, we have these things that go on forever and ever. We get a guy allegedly over there running a, you know, an automobile repair place out of his front yard. It's been on for, you know, a year and a half. So, you know, this way, we give her a notice, we have a public hearing, she can come in, you know, presumably Kevin would come in and say this is this and this, this is a violation. If we decide, and we're not prejudging here, but if we decide that there's a violation there, then we have the ability to give her a date and say, if you don't do that, we're gonna clean it up at our expense. And then we have the authority to go in and just clean it up. So I mean, you can, let's see what the report says, but that's how I would go. The other one Bob talked to me about was Elm Street, the abandoned one. So we've already got, we do have, you know, we do have an abandoned property law. So let's, I'm going to wait and see what his report says. I don't know if it's an analogous proceeding, but we should have this in hand, I would hope, within the next 2 weeks. And then we can discuss what to do next time out.
Okay.
So the report that Kevin is going to look at specifically for Westbrook Drive?
Yes.
What's considered, I mean, I think everybody realizes the extent of the property, how bad it is.
Yep.
So what determines how bad bad is?
Okay, here's the definition in our code. Here's the definition. And then there's definitions within this definition. No person as owner, occupier, lessee, or agent in any capacity shall store, deposit, place, maintain, or cause or permit to be stored, deposit, placed, or maintained outdoors any solid waste, rubbish, or debris upon any private property within the village. Then you got to go look at what the definition of solid waste, rubbish, or debris is. For instance, solid waste is all putrescible and non-putrescible materials and substances discarded, having served their original intended use or being spent, useless, worthless. Oh, crap. Rubbish, discarded or worthless solid waste, combustible and non-combustible waste, rags, wrappings, cigarettes, cardboard, tin cans, yard clippings. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's sort of the, so I don't know what she's got there. I heard it's kind of a
melange.
A menage of everything.
Yeah, it's a menage, but it includes flowers. So I don't know if you have flowers in a pot. Is that garbage? I don't think so.
But well, it's putrid stuff. It's
putrescible. You know, it is putrescible.
Putrescible.
Is it putrescing there? I guess that's going to be.
If they're dead.
Yeah, no, that's true, yes. So
our understanding is she's pulling them off of, you know, their used cut flowers that have been used someplace, and then they end up sitting in front of her house. Well,
okay,
they don't live. They're not replanted.
She's not like creating urns or some sort of.
No, she's making bouquets, and then she sells them to the Nassau Pharmacy, and this pharmacy sells them from there.
Well, that's also doing a business. You know, I'm assuming this is not. Business district. Well, let's see what Kevin comes up with on the repair. But that's, I think that's the way.
But that's only counts the flowers. Maybe they're they're of use, but there's a lot of other stuff that's not of any use.
Well, let's just see how that comes out. You know, like what Kevin finds there.
Hopefully did we also send a friendly letter already too? I thought you said you were going to send us.
No,
a letter.
I didn't send a letter because I wanted to see what Kevin says and if he thinks it fits into this definition here. So. That's on that.
All right. And we were also going to talk about the tax break.
Yeah.
I don't see it on
I sent an email to townboard@villageofnassau.org. Did everybody get it?
Yes.
Village board.
Okay.
Yes. We did.
So basically what the state now gives you a $200 deduction, exemption.
Tax credit.
Yes, that's the word. But this is what this does is it authorizes municipalities, including villages, to set up a system for giving members of volunteer ambulance and fire departments a 10% exemption on the property tax on the assessment of the property within the village on village taxes. Okay, so we can only do our village taxes. The county and this state law, which I included a copy of, gives you a couple of different choices. One, the percentage. You can do it for up to 10%. In other words, we could do 8%, we do 6%. I don't know anybody who's doing that. Everybody's doing 10% that I've seen, number one. Number two, you have the ability in your local law, if you decide to go forward with this, to set a minimum number of years of service before a person would qualify for that. So that's between 2 and 5 years. The purpose of this thing, I think, is to encourage membership in these organizations. So if I'm doing it, I think it makes sense to go with the minimum, you know, so that people are going to join so that in 2 years, they don't have to wait 5 years for this, they get that benefit. Then there's some alternative things you can do. Once someone's served credibly for 20 years or whatever, and it's hard in these laws to specify who's a, you know, you're going to have to get something from the chief saying this person was a member of our organization, blah, blah, blah. Once they've, one thing you can do is you can say if they've served 20 years, they get it for life on the property. We're only talking about property in the village. You can also say that if a volunteer has served for 20 years, and continuous years, and then dies, his surviving unmarried spouse, who still lives in the village in the property, can get it as long as she lives there. And then there's another thing that says you can opt into that if a person's been a member for 5 years and is killed in the line of duty, you can give his surviving unremarried spouse a 5% or the 10%. So those are all optional. We can do them or don't have to do them. The county adopted one with all of those least those things that I just said. They adopted all of them. They made it effective for the taxable status date of March 1st, effectively in 2024. So for the county, and that's what East Greenbush did also. So what that means is, you know, they start the in 2024, the taxable status will be March 1, 2024. And if you qualify by that time, you go in and apply to the, before then, you go before March 1st, you go in and apply to your assessor. He or she gives you that or doesn't give it to you. And then it'll be in your 2025 tax bill that comes out in January 2025. It won't be on the 2024-2025 school district bills, I don't think. But the school district did adopt it. The East Greenbush School District did adopt it. So I don't know how they're going to handle that. But it makes sense if the county's done it and the towns, and then I think the town of Nassau did it, is that what you thought? Mm-hmm. It kind of makes them, it's going to be hard for us not to do it. You know, you're going to look like, you know, whatever. Anyway. So that's that. If you want me to draft one up, I sent you.
Well, since we don't assess anymore and the town does all the village, wouldn't we fall under the town anyway?
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. But we get to tell in our local law, we get to say when it starts, okay? So the 20,
and we get to say whether or not we accept it.
Yeah.
Because there's, would have to go to the town to apply for it.
Right.
But there's a check village box.
Yes.
That says village apply.
Yeah. Correct.
And otherwise, if they don't check that box, it doesn't apply to village taxes. Because there's things that the town allows for in veterans exemptions that the village doesn't allow.
Right.
And aged exemptions for income is different from the town also.
Yeah. And that's not unusual to have that all the way. You know, we got a stacked local governments here, so that's not unusual. I don't know how they keep that straight. It would give me a headache. But if there's a consensus to do it, I can do a proposed local law along that line. I'll have to look at our code and see sort of where it would fit in there. Probably be a new, I got my code at the office, but I'll put it into our code, and if that's a consensus, I don't know what you want, but I could, we're not in any rush. I can put together a draft, send it out to you at the August meeting. You can schedule a public hearing, you can adopt it, you can have the public hearing and adopt it in August. All we got to do is have it done by January 1st, 2024, if that's what we're doing.
Well, I think it's a good idea to do. I know both organizations are having trouble recruiting volunteers.
How many volunteers do you have in the village already? Do you think you have a count on that?
Volunteers
of what? Does it matter where you volunteer at?
Fire and ambulance.
Owning property and living within the village.
And the district. So it would be Nassau Ambulance and Nassau Fire District for the village.
Yeah.
And those Skodak.
East Skodak doesn't serve the village.
Well, doesn't Nassau and Skodak, aren't they combined? Don't they team up with each other? So what it's going
I don't know if they're merged yet.
They're not merged, so they're still separate.
Yeah, they're still separate. Common calls or something like that. But
so if you're a volunteer at a different fire company
and
you live in the village, you're not going to get credit for that other fire company.
Two things. You've got to own residential property within the village, and you have to be a volunteer in an organization that provides services to the village. So if you...
And right now, East Kodak performs, or services under a mutual aid agreement. They don't perform.
So that would count.
So that wouldn't count. Tell Buddy's got to join NASA. We could use him on the ambulance.
We can use him in the fire.
Kind of stupid.
So, but anyway, there are, several members in the village that, there's a few members in the village, probably.
I would say about eight.
Probably eight or ten.
Fire, yeah.
Yeah, eight or ten, that own property and live in the village.
Well, presumably more people might sign up.
Which is the goal, right?
That's the goal. That's the incentive. And if you get a, if you can get 10%, since everybody else is signed on, if you can get 10% off your total tax bill.
Right.
Yeah, that's going to be the difference, because I don't think anybody's going to make, does anybody pay a $2,000 village tax bill?
No.
Well, I thought the incentive was that you actually, some of the volunteers actually get a little bit back for all their time that they volunteer.
Yeah.
I mean, but if we're going to, is the town doing it that way too, that?
They have.
Yes.
In other words, the town.
I mean, I'm saying if you live in the town, but you are a member of a different fire company and volunteer your time, does that also not count at the town? Or are you saying that's what the village is going to do?
The idea is that
you would get if Bud went down, if you guys went down and filed for the exemption, it would only be, first of all, it's only on your primary residence, mm-hmm, or portion thereof. And so because Bud's in East Kodak, uh-huh, Fire District, he wouldn't get the village reduction because East Kodak doesn't serve the village, but he would get it for the town of Nassau. Let's see, no, he wouldn't get it for the town of Nassau either, because East Kodak doesn't serve the town of Nassau. He'd get county and school.
Okay, well, it's just nice to understand what it's talking about, because that's not how it was read, and people ask about it all the time, so that's good to know.
Yeah. We're going to ask about it even more when we do this,
right?
Because it makes sure.
It doesn't make sense. Everybody serves the area. All fire companies serve the area. You have a big fire, everybody serves the area. So it doesn't make any sense at all.
I don't know how it interacts with the STAR program, but you got to have this. The school district just did it by resolution, and they did it very generally. But under the state law, you have to occupy primary residence within a municipality and be a member of a volunteer company that serves that municipality, okay? So I know some towns have different districts within the town. I think within the state law, you could live in part A of the town and be a volunteer in another part of the town served by another district and get it, because I think it's...
This for school.
No, I'm just thinking for town stuff, but for school tax, as long as you're living within the school, living within the school district, it lines up. If you're providing services within the school district and you have a residence there, you're eligible.
Okay.
So East Kodak covers this section of town of Nassau.
Doesn't cover anything there. In Nassau.
Right, this is just hypothetical.
Yeah. But it does cover East Greenbush School District.
Yeah.
But if they covered that section of the town of Nassau, they would get the exemption for the town.
Yeah.
But since they don't, they're just mutual, they do mutual
aid.
Yeah,
but that's not the same. Because, you know, you're going to be certified by one organization. The whole point of this is to get
more people here.
Have the municipalities choose if they want to shift that tax burden, then they should be the ones getting the benefit from that in terms of the bump for volunteers, or the hopeful bump for volunteers.
Now, Missy, if the merger goes through when we merge,
I'm just asking.
Then
people are going to ask a zillion
questions.
District,
then,
I would think so.
Then
that would, if you're a member of an ambulance corps or a fire department that's covering two separate municipalities, and you're living in one of those municipalities, I think you would get that. I think you'd have to get the assessment, you know, from your local town assessor. That's who's going to do it. There's all kinds of other interesting questions. What if you got a husband and wife who have already voted?
They're both members.
Right. You still only get the 10% though.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that with that certainty, Bob, because I don't know.
Because it would go under...
I would have drafted quite that tightly.
It would go under the household itself, wouldn't it not?
Well, I mean, that's a good example too. I have a child in Nassau and a husband in Skodak, so I mean, how does that work? I mean, it's gonna have a lot of questions, that's for sure.
I don't think the child has anything to do with it. I think it's spouse, all spouse. I'm not raising that question to make trouble, it's just something I noticed, that's all.
So there was a volunteer in for the town, and was also getting veterans preference.
Oh, I think it's cumulative. In other words, it doesn't take away, it's an exempt, so let's say you got a, your house is assessed at $100,000. If you qualify for this, you're gonna get you're gonna get your assessment reduced to $90,000 for the purposes of whatever governmental entity have chosen to opt into this program, right? So if you got a
veterans, then you're gonna get that 10%.
Yeah, you're gonna, it's cumulative. It's not expressed anywhere here that it's exclusive or it's cumulative. I don't think there's any question about that.
And then if he's a firefighter, he's also gonna get 10%. So really he's gonna get 20? Is that what you mean?
What do you mean if he's a firefighter?
And
well,
a veteran.
He's saying if you get both.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
There's gonna be people that fall into that category.
Yeah.
So
the whole point is to encourage is to put money in front of people to reward them and encourage membership. I don't know how effective that would be. I think if the state wanted to do it more effectively, what they would have done is bump up the $200 credit against state income taxes. Mm-hmm. But that would require the people who run the government of the state of New York to take money from the state and dump it into upstate New York communities, which they don't want to do. Okay, that's my conspiratorial explanation. Because that's a more direct, you know, there's no fussing and fighting and going down and applying every year and all that other nonsense. You know, you put your certificate on your tax return. And, anyway.
So what's the minimum, 2 to 5, or is that
determined
by us?
That's determined by you. In other words, it allows you to give that qualification of that 10% exemption in your local law to people who have served for 2 years up to 5 years. Okay. In other words, you can start them on faster. You can fast track it if you want to.
Okay.
I'll do my game plan when I just do this out.
You're going to draft something that we're
going
to review.
I am, and I'm going to draft it because the county has the 2 year 10%. They did it in East Greenbush. I haven't seen Nassau, but it just makes the school district, I think, did the whole thing too. So, you want to just not.
It makes it easier if you parallel.
Yeah, it makes it, because otherwise it's just insane. And it's also worth more, it's cumulative. So, there's nobody who's got a $2,000 tax bill that's going to want to jump onto that, but there are people with $2,000 property tax bills because they're accumulating school, blah, 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 blah. So that's that. That's about it.
So is it the consensus of the board that we want to proceed down the road and offer this?
Yep.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I'll just do it. I'll send everybody a copy of it and then you can take a look and we've got plenty of time on that.
All right, good. That takes care of that.
Bob, did you want to talk about this local law about code enforcement too? Because that's something I've been sort of sitting on for about many months now.
Remind me what it is again.
Never mind.
No, I didn't.
The state's making us put something.
There's been a push there was a push over the last couple of years in the state legislature to enhance code enforcements. And so they passed bills that sort of strengthen what the Department of State, which portion of the Department of State that oversees code enforcement, they do the state code and all that stuff, to make us more up to the mark, I guess you could say. So what they've done is they've sort of prescribed how we ought to do the local law. And again, the village tax exemption law is optional, totally optional, but they give us some choices if we adopt it. I think they want us to do this local law thing. It includes a reporting requirement to the Secretary of State. But it also gives us some, it's a draft precedent that they did for, you know, towns like Hempstead, which has 800,000 people, and villages like us, which don't. So they've got a wide variety of things we can put in here, but there's a lot of stuff we'll just chop out because we don't have to worry about inspections of parking garages. Mm-hmm. You know, they're talking about, you know, we can just, or there's some odd thing here about, I don't know, do we want to inspect maple sugaring facilities?
Oh, I remember talking
yeah,
about
remember
this.
That, you know, yeah, remember that, all that stuff. So we went through this before, I think it was before the beginning yeah. of the new year, I made notes, so I thought I would do is just rerun it and chop it down, and I can have that for next time and even look at it.
Not, yeah, if you
could. If I do it, I'll give you a note about what I changed and what I didn't change. And
is it much different than what we already have in our?
It's kind of the same format, but it really spells it.
Pages of code.
Yeah, it basically incorporates the state code by reference, which ours does already. But it sort of tightens it up and neatens it up, and it's got the reporting requirement that we got to tell them everything we're doing. So. I mean, it's a funny thing, the revisions are intended to reflect the new version of Part 1203, which was adopted on December 14th, 2021, and which become effective on December 30th, 2022. I think East Nassau has already adopted some version of it. And it's, you know, just sort of formalizing it. It's funny because they recite the Municipal Home Rule Law here, and basically, the Municipal Home Rule Law is supposed to define our independence, and this law is not exactly a product of independence, but anyway.
So it's something you have to do?
I think so, yeah. I think otherwise we're going to have to, you know, they're going to ask us about it. So we might as well get it out of the way and do it. These are my thoughts.
All right, so next month we're going to talk about Westbrook Drive. We're going to talk about 54 is Elm? 52 Elm. We're going to talk about tax reduction.
Yep. And code enforcement.
Also, just so everybody knows, if this takes effect in January of 2025 with the tax bill for the county.
January 2024 is.
But the first time that'll become effective for reduction is 2025.
Correct, because it's they made it effective January 2024.
So that 2025, January 2025 assessment affects the June 2026 tax bill for the village, because we're the last ones to use
No, but because in 2025 you would still be using.
Right, so the way it works is the town.
That's right, because even if they do it in 2025.
Right, the town finalizes their tax bills in July
you're right.
of 2024.
Yeah. You're right.
And the first ones to use them are the school districts in 2024.
Yeah, right.
And then the town uses it in 2025, and then. Oh no, we would use it in 2025 too. You're right. Be June of 2025.
No, because it would already be be finalized by then.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
It's getting scary there, Bob.
No, it's the
Because assessments are due what, March 1st.
Yeah.
So it would be based off the 2024 March 1st assessments.
Yeah.
2024.
March 1st is when the tentative assessment roll is started. In other words, you got to have all your applications in by March 1st, and they roll it out by March 30th or whatever. Then you have time to grieve it, they change it, they do this, they do that. That tentative assessment roll is finalized and filed on July 1 of the year, and then on January 1st, the following year, that bill becomes the assessment roll, the tax roll.
For town and county in January.
For the
but the school district uses it in September 1st. They're the first
As I say,
the
school uses the July of that year for their taxes.
They're first.
Basically, it's going to take a couple years for the fire department to get to offer this incentive to get volunteers.
Well, not really, because if you do this and they got to be a member for 2 years, they're going to want to join now.
Right.
So they can get it.
I think it's kind of speculative about how much it will impact people.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, but it's something.
Yep. Just to clarify, the Elm Street address is 54.
Oh, 54, I thought it was 52.
There is no 52. Maybe that's the fence that's falling down in between 50 and 54.
Isn't there there's a 52. Box for 52 Elm?
There might be, but there's no actual, unless it's across the street.
Because you're 50,
no, 52
right?
Doesn't come
I'm
up.
50.
Yeah.
It's right next door to me, so there's nothing
yeah.
in between.
That's weird. Unless they're not counting two floors of the house, right? Or,
I don't think they, no, that wouldn't
cause
be.
Because it's not a duplex, right?
Well, we have to go by whatever the address
Roll
is.
Roll says 54.
Okay. I'm sure it'll be evident to Kevin which one it is, right?
Yeah. At least I think there was a mailbox.
There's a lot of mailboxes.
Oh, yeah, there's tons.
All right. Everybody all set with all that stuff?
Yeah.
All right. Next up is paving quotes.
So we had it in the last month, and we tabled it because we had had another contractor who asked us to hold off on awarding it because they wanted to bid. That contractor has come back and declined to bid on the Griswold Street project. They also declined to bid on the Elm Street project and sidewalk. So I'm going to ask to move forward with the Griswold Street proposal, which was for Valley Paving, and that was for... Make sure I get this right, because you get Griswold is $14,655, and that's for mill and pave.
And that's off state contract, right? Or
it's
off the
county. County contract. And I sent Missy, I sent you the copy of that. We should have just attached it to it. I have it in my
He's
email.
He's not
going
to do the other ones, to the Elm Street one.
He didn't bid the Elm Street.
Oh, why not?
He bidded the Howard Street. Was the other one we were looking at. But I think the guys did a pretty good job of patching up Howard Street, so
right.
I would
hold
off
on
Howard.
I thought had a water problem by Sue's that we were trying to address. Is that, Bob, you remember that?
By 5 Elm Street.
Yeah, by Sue's house.
That's the Elm Street. That's the
yeah.
one that we're still working on getting.
Right.
I got
That's
one sidewalk bid. I've got to get three
oh,
more.
Oh, so this guy's not bidding that. He's just bidding Griswold.
Yes.
I just wonder why.
Valley Paving is only doing paving. They don't do concrete.
Oh, okay. So this is just for Griswold.
Yeah, so I'm just looking to get approval to move forward with the Griswold Street project. And I'm continuing to work and get quotes for the concrete work, which will include a little bit of asphalt work on Elm.
Okay, so that's definitely okay.
There'll be two separate projects. I have that. I have a quote, a copy of that quote, if anyone wants to look at it.
So you're making a motion to approve the Valley
yes.
paving at $14,655 to mill and fill Griswold Street.
Yes.
I'll second.
Second by Ryan. Questions? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carried.
Missy, how much lead time do we think we need to make notification to the residents? A week ahead of time?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to be able to have a way that they're going to.
Because they're,
be able
you know, for a day
them.
Or so, they're not going to be able to use their.
We can park over at the park, right?
Is a week enough lead?
Yeah.
Because when I reach out to Joel, I'll just tell him I need. A date, and I need a week lead time so we can do notification.
Okay.
And they're not going to be able to get in their road at all, or just one side or the other of their road?
No, they'll do the whole road. I don't know
all
how fast they can get in. Maybe, I would assume overnight, right? Is that typical? When they pave, they don't want you to drive on it immediately, but usually
no,
after 24 hours, they're good.
I thought they could drive on it pretty quick.
All right. Well, I'll touch base
yeah,
with Joel.
Touch base
yeah,
with
just
my,
let me know
for
the
mill
details.
And fill, I don't think there's any overnight
okay.
setup or anything.
If you can shoot for
but
August
think,
7th through 11th, that'd be perfect.
But you can't, that road's narrow, so when they get that piece of, the milling a piece of equipment in there, you ain't
yeah, that road's
it.
Closed. Well, yeah, because they're just
yeah.
going to mill it and pave
yeah.
the whole thing at once.
Right. So they'll be in there, you know.
They can park
it half a day.
Half a day anyway, probably. All right.
I think the people will be fine with walking.
We can work out the schedule.
They'll be very happy their road's getting done.
I would expect that, yes.
Yeah.
All right, I'll reach out to Joel and get on his calendar.
All right, so anybody got any new business?
Yeah, we forgot code enforcement.
Oh, yeah, so.
I forgot to put it on the agenda.
So I reached out to a couple of people myself. I talked to Kevin about finding somebody to do code enforcement, which he looked around. He said got back to me a couple of weeks ago and said he couldn't find anybody. I did reach out to Mike Prest in Nassau. He said he doesn't have any more time to take another job. I talked to a guy named Glenn Miller, maybe, and he's a code enforcement in Rensselaer part-time, but he's also a code enforcement part-time in two other places. He says he can't take on another job either. He was looking for something that he could get rid of two of his jobs and take one. I says, no, that's not what we have. So we're gonna have to put it out there and advertise for somebody.
So we have a posting somewhere because we've done it in the past. So I'll pull up what we have on the computer, send it out to you guys. You can review it, see if you want to make any changes, and then I'll post it in the advertiser.
Yeah, post it in the advertiser is good. And we can put it out, maybe put it on 12123.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll send you what we have.
So that'll be the next step anyway, so. All right, anything else? We're all set on that now, right? You don't need a motion or nothing.
No.
All right, so we have a resolution to approve the justice audit. Guy and I reviewed the justice audit after the board meeting last month. We didn't find any issues with it, so we recommend that it be approved.
It's right there if anybody wants to review it.
It's right here if anybody wants to look at it. So I make a motion that we approve the justice audit.
Second.
Second by Guy. Questions? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's carried. So the next thing is to appoint the interim justice. It's actually going to be effective August 1st.
Oh, okay.
Because he's on vacation, won't be back until the end of the month.
Oh, the end of the month.
So I'm appointing Robert Schumann, interim justice, effective August 1st, 2023, at a rate of $1,600 annually. He is the current town, one of the current town justices in the town of Nassau. He's been a justice over there for, I think this is his second term, at least his second term, maybe his third. But he's been over there for a while, and he works with Emma, who is our current elected justice here in the village. Over there, she's the other justice in the town also, so they work together over there. I spoke with them and be more than happy to back her up over here also. So I'm making that appointment. Get a second.
One second.
Second by Ryan. Questions? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's carried. Anybody want to bring anything up before we pay the bills? Okay, moving along, bills number 25 through 63 in the amount of $24,220.27 in the general fund and $1,010.76 in the water fund and $5,469.46 paid outside of abstract. Entertain a motion?
Make a motion.
Motion by Charlie.
Second.
Second by Rich. No questions, we don't have. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's carried. Adjournment's in order.
Make the motion.
Motion by Charlie.
Second.
Second by Ryan. We're adjourned.